Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino getting you ready for our exit interview. Double exit interview, in fact, as we are awaiting our calls from Jenna Bowman and then also Michael Yerger after last night's very exciting double boot episode of Survivor Ghost Island. I had the pleasure of having David Wright here in the studio last night to go over everything in Stephen Fishback's absence on the Know It Alls. Of course, that podcast and video is up on robiswebsite.com. David Wright will be on this podcast as well. You'll hear him as he takes me on in the This Week in Survivor History quiz coming up after our second exit interview. I've got some really great podcasts coming your way as well. I'm going to be speaking with Tyson Apostle later on this afternoon. I'm going to try to stream that interview on our Twitch channel that we're playing around with. That's going to be coming up for us as far as recording it around 4 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, you'll have that podcast on Friday morning. And then over the weekend, I'm going to check in with Rourke Luskin, who will be here in the studio with me as well. So excited to have Rourke on the feedback show for the very first time. So get your feedback questions in. Of course, a number of different ways to do that. robiswebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP or email the show as well. I'll also put out a call for questions on Twitter as well. So lots of different ways to get your feedback questions in. I'm sure there will be a lot of great questions after this week's episode. Okay, let's first bring in the woman who went out at that first tribal council last night. She is here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Jenna Bowman, are you there?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Still processing everything, but you know, pretty good.
All things considered. Yeah. So, Jenna, last night you were part of that first tribal council, and you seemed very eager to, hey, let's vote. Let's get to it. Why were you in such a hurry to get to the voting?
So after we came out of the challenge, you know, I figured out that, okay, we're still down in numbers, Jonathan and I versus the, you know, the NBD3. But the NBD3 is like, you know, probably the least strategic out of the three. And so I thought that I for sure could figure out a way to get one of them to flip on each other. So once, you know, that was shut down, you know, the DD strong still, Sebastian approached me and was like, I really want you to see your dad tomorrow, as we, you know, thought loved ones was coming up. You know, I really want you to stay. We all want you here. We're going to vote for Donovan. And I said, okay, in the back of my mind, I know Donovan is an idol. So I want to play it up at tribal that, you know, I know it's me. So he feels secure and just doesn't feel like he has to play it on himself, so we can vote him out. Mm-hmm. But obviously before tribal, he also gave me the second option of, hey, I have an idol. I'll play it for you. Let's vote out Sebastian. So a few things of that, I just didn't agree with his strategy on that because, you know, Sebastian just wasn't a threat versus Chelsea, who was, you know, winning individual immunity. And I said, can we vote him out? Can we vote her out instead? And he didn't want that. So, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I'm willing to vote for him. So, you know, I wanted the second security of, if I could also play this up, would he still play the idol for me so I would be safe? So I thought I honestly had both kind of routes covered, and I thought I was going to be good going in. So I was playing that up as, Jeff, I'm ready to vote. But, you know, I also was with four other people that really didn't have an opinion, and it was just an awkward, really quick tribal. So it was just like, okay, let's vote. So it ended up looking, you know, more that I was throwing the towel almost. And I, you know, so I was a little upset about that because, you know, I obviously was fighting and I didn't want that, but. Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't get that perception. I felt like that it was almost like that you may have been showing your hand in that. Do you think that Donathan ended up changing anything that he was doing based on that it seemed like that you were very eager to get to the vote?
Yeah, I think it ended up tipping him off. I mean, what they didn't show was like random conversations that we were having where like Jeff was like asking, you know, Sebastian a question, and he was just very cryptic. And then Anne asked the question and very cryptic, and they were going off of like this weird thing. And so it was just like getting awkward. And I was just like getting, I was like getting just uncomfortable. I was like, it's time to vote. And then I think that took Donovan off of like me looking almost more comfortable than actually nervous and sad about going home.
Did Donovan give you a promise that he was going to play the idol on you?
He brought it up and we definitely discussed it. I tried, because it was in a great plan if I agreed with it. And, I, you know, obviously to save myself, I should have just gone along with it. But, you know, I was trying to finally make a move and say, you know, this is who I think should go, you know. So we talked about it and I told him, okay, yes. Obviously that was my last word I said to him. I said, I'll do it, just so I had that option. but I've never promised. But I also thought it was kind of a red flag. Like, Jonathan and I didn't have that strong of a relationship, so I was kind of taken aback when he said he was willing to play an idol on me too. So I, you know, it was a lot. There was a lot of moving parts, and but no, he never actually said, "I promise, I'm playing this on you."
Now, did you do anything to throw Jonathan under the bus, especially with those three people from Navidi?
Yeah, I mean, I did say that. You know, I told him that he had an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that was probably another mistake, because instead of, you know, I was trying just to make, pitch his case that he needed to go because he, you know, had an idol and he was more of a threat right now. But obviously, in hindsight, looking back, why would they want to vote somebody out that has an idol, you know, on the risk of losing one of their members? So they went with me.
Jenna, it's been so fascinating for us to try to decipher what's going on with you and Sebastian on the show. I think a lot of us sort of assume that, okay, that once we saw you guys were getting together, this was some sort of a coupling on the show, which ultimately never really came to fruition. Were you guys a couple at all or seen as a pair by anybody on the island?
No, and that's what was so, like, it's so strange, because we literally, like, from day one had a crush on each other and, like, would hold hands every night, but we were never viewed as a power couple, or it never affected the game in any way, because Sebastian just would never talk strategy with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was never, our relationship never got to that point where, you know, it was valuable for me to actually be close with him. No one looked at us as a threat. So it was never part of the storyline, just because you know, he didn't really talk strategy, so it never got there.
And it's weird that he seemed to also be targeting you at this tribal council.
Yeah. It was strange because, you know, the way I just assumed that it probably happened was Chelsea was like, okay, we're going to vote Jenna. But based off the edit of it, it looks like he was like, yeah, no, she's got to go. Let's be convincing. So
mm-hmm.
It was strange that the day he started trying to really play the game and step up, it was to get me out.
Were you offended, Jenna, when Sebastian said that your hair smells like dead weasels?
No, because he's just like, everything that comes out of his mouth is just honestly so ridiculous that it, you know, it was just, everything just made me laugh. I never took any of it. He also called me chunky, so, you know, it's just
yes,
like, whatever.
In your Ponderosa video, you mentioned that. To be fair to Sebastian, that he had said to you that in the beginning of the game, you were chunky, but you're good now, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, but he said it was a compliment. He meant it as a compliment because he likes chunky girls, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, well, yeah. I'm not going to get involved. You guys sort that one out. Let's go back to last week's tribal council. And so Desiree has that plan where she comes to you guys and says, hey, let's go ahead and flip things around. Did it ever make sense to you why Laurel went and told Dominic about what was going on with Desiree?
No, I knew. And there was so much, like, that was the most frantic day I think we all had. There were so many moving parts, but so we were obviously really upset with Laurel. Like, it made no sense to us. I knew Laurel and Wendell were close just because of our time at Unuya. So
mm-hmm.
when I heard it was Dom, I always assumed she told Wendell and it got to Dom. I never realized there was actually a direct communication until I watched. That was a really hard moment, because that was for the first time the whole game I played. Like, it felt like we finally had a break, you know? It was a light at the end of the tunnel. It was like, we finally have this move, and Navidi is willing to crack. It was the most exciting moment I think I had the whole show, just to literally have it come crashing down by your own alliance. It was hard.
How on board were you with the Chris Noble's plan to go after the guys? And then how did that ultimately come back around where everybody's voting for Chris Noble?
that was just like a really funny day. Like, we all came back. I, you know, had just gotten off Unuya with Wendell and Noble. And I actually, you know, became relatively close with both of them. But obviously living with Noble in such a small area for 5 days straight was a lot to take in. And, you know, even at Unuya, we all had our game plan. Okay, it's going to be Noble, like, if we ever do lose. So going into the merge, I think at least from us five, like, we all knew it was not going to be Wendell, at least am I. Like, you know, Dom was still, you know, potential, but I knew I was voting for Chris. The day we all went down to the water, well, we all knew it was Chris, but we all went down there and just listened to him talk. So it was... you know, it was an interesting day. I still can't believe he went home with an idol in his pocket. Like, I had, none of us knew, even after the show, he never told us. So it was, yeah, that was a funny day.
Yeah. And so you were on board with the plan to get rid of him, or you were very interested in what he was potentially pitching at the merge?
No, we were definitely on board to get rid of Noble, just because I think it was just a clean vote. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was just an easy vote. It was the merge. Everyone's spirits were just kind of really high. And
right.
We just played into Noble, you know.
So did you end up having a relationship with Wendell from the time that you guys spent together at Unuya?
We did. It was basically through Laurel, though. Like, they were very, very close. And, like, Wendell and I, obviously, we had a lot of communication, like, just personal talk, getting to know each other. Again, tried talking strategy, but I think he was just so set in stone with, you know, who he had already as an alliance with Dom, and then obviously Laurel, that, and Laurel trusted me, so I think that, you know, we had conversations as three, but Wendell and I never actually solidified any true relationship moving into the merge. But what they didn't show was actually Wendell had planted a fake idol on Unuya that I found. So that was, like, the extent of our relationship. Is once it didn't come, they didn't show it because it never, you know, got played or anything. But he had planted one. I thought I had found the idol. And then that was the last discussion we really had, was, you know, me giving him props about such a great fake idol.
How did you know it was fake?
Well, at first I was like, okay, this, you know, Wendell is an amazing designer. Like, if you guys would have saw this thing, it is literally, it's just unreal. Like, I don't even know where he got the supplies. It was leather. It was crazy. But Michael, what they also didn't show is Michael and I were pretty close alliance. He was my best friend from day one. And so I obviously told him that I had it once we got to the merge, and showing it to him, he had obviously already seen a couple idols and had realized that they were all, you know, relics from past seasons. And this one clearly wasn't, because he's such a fan of the show that he had, you know, recognized that. So thankfully he figured it out.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's an impressive player.
So when you went to Ponderosa, you and Michael had the opportunity. You still got to see your loved ones. How surprised were you to see your dad at Ponderosa?
I was shocked, because that was, you know, as well, like, once on my exit interviews, you know, I was just, you know, in a sense, I was like, I don't want to regret anything. I'm proud that I made it this far. I'm proud of myself. I had an amazing experience, and, like, I couldn't ask for anything different right now. Besides the fact that I came short a day from the loved one visit. So that was, like, really what I was dwelling on. I just felt really bad. And we, Michael and I, like, just, like, cried over that a few times, because that was just what really affected us the most. So having them show up, it was just the best feeling. And knowing that once I was voted out, we got 2 hours together to have lunch versus the 4 minutes I would have, you know, shared with them on the show. You know, it made that day a little easier.
Now, you had a unique experience in that tribal council where you got voted out, and then Jeff said, okay, now go sit in the jury, which not a lot of people have done that, I think, if anybody in the history of the show.
I think I was the first person in the jury.
What was that experience like to go from you are a full-fledged, able-to-speak person on the show to now you're in the jury and you're not supposed to talk?
I'd say it was hard, but in the long run of me making the transition back into, like, you know, more of the real world, I think it made it easier. Like, I immediately had to get over any sorrow that I had, or any sadness, or any bitterness. Like, it was like, okay, that's over. But in the positive side was, I was on the bottom for so long, and now all of a sudden I'm in juror. Okay, I'm juror mode. Now I finally have a little bit of power. Like, I have power now. Who wins this? You know, so for the first time, it was weird. It was like, okay, yeah, I just lost all my power because I'm out of the game. But at the same time, I just gained something that I hadn't felt in a while. So it was weird. You know, it was a lot to process, a little awkward having to sit there and, you know, watch everyone that just betrayed me walk past me. And then, you know, obviously the new people coming in, and then having to watch Michael get voted out. So it was, you know, it was a lot to process that night. But I think it might have helped me just make that transition and get over everything faster.
Okay. And then would you like to tell people to check out your new cologne commercial?
I think it's so good. Like, it's kind of, it's an issue with my relationship with Sebastian right now. We're, you know, working through this. He has yet to watch it. Well, he watched part of it, and he said he wanted to throw up. So we're working through that. But
yeah. Let me set that up. That in the Ponderosa video from this week, one of the things that they did, not to spoil it, is that Jenna and Michael star in a cologne commercial for a new cologne from Ponderosa, which hopefully does not smell like dead weasels.
Yeah, I mean, we completed our Ponderosa video, and the producers were like, you guys just had such good chemistry, and we were, I don't know how we even got onto the topic, but we threw that commercial together in literally, I kid you not, an hour. Like, I don't know how they made it look so amazing, because it did not look that good in real life. It's incredible what they did.
Okay. All right. Well, Jenna, thank you so much for coming on with us and talking about everything that's going on, and all the best to you and to Sebastian in the future. Okay.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Jenna Bowman, some problems with the Ponderosa video. Seabass is want to throw up after watching it. That's not good. Anyway, but good to hear from Jenna and everything she was thinking. We'll speak with Michael in just a moment. But first, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today. Those are our friends over at Microsoft. Support for this podcast comes from Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365. Microsoft Teams is a digital workspace where teams can create, collaborate, and communicate authentically, just like they would in the real world. Whatever your project is, whether you're working on a cologne video or anything, there's so much to look after. Wouldn't it be great if it was just one place to look for all of your digital files? Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams brings together your chats, your meetings, your files, and apps all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards the deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams is available in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn even more. Okay, a man who was on a team that did not do so well. He was part of the Malolo tribe and really did not catch too many breaks along the way, except for a couple of the hidden immunity idols that he found. Let's bring in the second person to get voted out last night. That would be Michael Yerger. Michael, are you there?
What's going on, Rob? Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just jumped off with Wiggler. So now on our half, that's exciting.
Yes.
It's an honor, man.
Good. Well, it's a treat to talk to you, but sad to see you go last night in that double Tribal Council episode. I want to hear from you. Your vote was for Wendell at that Tribal Council, and if you had put a vote on Laurel, it would have been enough to keep you in the game. Why Wendell there, and what conversation did you have with Kellen about who you were voting for?
Yeah, so me and Kellen, obviously, in that scene of us on the beach when I had, bluffed the idol, we had discussed, what options we had, and, with her now knowing about this, supposed idol that I had, what move we wanted to make. And, of course, I was encouraging a Wendell blindside. Clearly, I'd been out for him for a minute there. And I was really trying to get her on board and to kind of wake up and see, how much power they have to really pull off this move. So that's what I was pitching. She, she was down for it. And of course, she had to, work her end of things. I talked with Laurel, and Laurel was, great at fooling me and, acting like, oh, it's you and me on the bottom. We're, Malolo together, we've just never got it right, blah, blah, blah. But I really didn't know how close she was with Wendell. She, she agreed with me, yeah, let's get him out, let's blindside him, let's do this. So I went into Tribal pretty confident that me, Kellen, and Laurel had something going. And, sadly, it didn't work out that way. But yeah, that's kind of the thought process behind it. And that's why my vote went towards Wendell.
Is a better question to be asking this morning that if Kellen knew she had two votes, why didn't she put her two votes on Wendell?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. But of course, she didn't want to burn those bridges with them. I think she really fully didn't trust me that I was going towards Wendell. I think she might have been, suspicious of me doing a bait and switch type of thing, trying to work with them to vote out her. She was paranoid that that's where my vote was going. So I think there was so much convolution and chaos and And she just, you know, ultimately thought that putting him on Laurel was the better move for her, safer to, you know, maintain her relationships with Dom and Wendell, and, you know, move forward in the game in a you know, good position.
Michael, did you and Laurel have any conversation about what you guys were doing in terms of going into that vote? Because it didn't seem like that you were both on the same page heading into that five-person vote.
Yeah, so we did. We had talked and we had discussed the, you know, Wendell vote. And she, you know, she's been a yes woman throughout, you know, my portion of the season so far. So, you know, I knew that she kind of always agrees to things, and then you got to see which way she'll actually go at Tribal. And I was hopeful that she'd, you know, kind of wake up and decide that, hey, now's the time. And again, you know, I didn't know how close she was with him. So that's what our conversation was going into it. But, you know, me and her were never super close. We never really worked tightly together. And, you know, I don't think she ever really wanted to keep me around and work with me. We just kind of had that original Malolo bond to bring us together.
There was one point where Dominic and Wendell are whispering to each other, and you, like, literally have your head right in the huddle. Were you able to hear anything that they were saying to one another?
I could not hear anything that they were saying. I mean, you know, of course, I was speculating and trying to gauge reaction and this and that and whatever. But, you know, I think the gist of it was them deciding whether or not they should put votes on me or on Kellen. And, you know, of course, Dom wasn't really buying the whole idol thing. You know, I was not able to bluff it like I had requested from Donathan to you know, really pull Dom on my side to go towards one of the girls, or even Wendell if he was open to it. I, of course, I didn't care. I'm just trying to make it. So I'm assuming it was all, yeah, deciding, you know, which of us to go for.
Were you surprised that Donathan just flat out said no when you asked the request to just hold the idol for a little while? I mean, he actually has two of them to make up the one super idol from Koh Rong.
Right. I was honestly, I was very taken back. And the reason being, you know, obviously I helped him find that second half of the idol. And, you know, he had told me that he wanted to work with me. He would play it for me if he thought he needed to. He wanted to make a big move with it and, you know, have a blind side on his resume and this and that and whatever. So I didn't think it was too far-fetched to ask that of him. You know, I would have been happy with a half, with a note, with anything to really, you know, obviously have something to show to Dom or to Wendell or whatever, just something to work with. And I was shocked that he wasn't willing to help me out there. And I thought it was quite frankly a bit selfish, but, you know, again, he's doing what we thought was best for his game. And, you know, I can't hate him for that, but it sure was frustrating, you know, not having any options with that idol.
When it was first revealed that there was going to be this twist and that you were going to vote in groups of five, did you initially feel like it was going to be a better thing for you than had you stayed in the group of 10?
You know, honestly, from the get-go, I know Jeff said, you know, oh, this, you know, is a better shot. It could be an advantage, whatever. I mean, any way I saw it, I think the smaller group might have hurt me. And of course, I mean, it all depends on the numbers. And I got absolutely shafted by the people I was with.
You got a bad draw.
That really sucked. Yeah, I know. I mean, got to stay consistent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was not thrilled to hear that. I think that, you know, the more people I had, you know, in a tribal to work with and to pitch my case to and to try and get something going, the better. So I was not thrilled. And then, I mean, of course, that immunity challenge was just absolutely pitiful and, embarrassing. So, that's frustrating, but yeah, that double tribal really hit me in the face out of nowhere.
It seemed like last week at the Desiree vote, you had made some inroads with Dominic in terms of working together. Was there any discussion with him about trying to come up with anything like voting against Kellen potentially at this vote?
Yeah, there definitely was. I mean, I think they saw the value in keeping me around for a little longer as a meat shield, you know, as one of the, you know, maybe stronger physical competitors. So I think that he was willing to work with me, but at the same time, he wanted to, you know, take his shot at me when he had the chance, when he felt like I was powerless, and when I didn't win a, you know, immunity necklace or anything like that. So I think the timing was right for him. He definitely, of course, would have been open to it if I was able to provide some sort of, you know, idle leverage, you know, to intimidate him that I would, you know, try and blindside him or, you know, whatever it might be. So I think just the lack of power I had really sealed, you know, the deal. But.
So going back to that vote last week where Desiree comes to the four Malolo people and says, hey, I've got a plan. Let's flip this around. And I'm sure for you, that was a very exciting proposition of, OK, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. But Laurel goes back and tells Dominic about the plan. We never really got a reaction from you or Jenna, the two Malolo people that were not involved in working with Wendell and Dominic. What was your reaction to hearing that Laurel went back and told Dominic about that plan?
Oh my God, dude, I was hot. Like, I was so angry because, of course, that's the only thing I'm sitting and praying for at night is that somebody would wake up, somebody would, you know, kind of put the pieces together and really decide that, hey, now's the time. And, you know, having Dez open up and you know, be risky and take that, you know, shot was huge to me. And it definitely brought life into my game. And I was so thrilled and excited and, you know, just getting amped up for this major blindside. And then, of course, yeah, it all, you know, goes to shit. And Laurel was loose with her lips. And, you know, I was so unbelievably frustrated. So, you know, I'm not sure if maybe that side of me is why we never really got to see it. But I was definitely angry. And it really killed me to have to turn against Dez, you know, in that tribal that night. After she was, you know, kind of my saving grace, the only person trying to work with us, that was really hard and not fun at all.
Did that really open your eyes at that point that Laurel could be working with Dominic and Wendell at that point? Or did she give you a different explanation of why she did that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a red flag. I think that what her pitch to us was, hey, listen, like, you know, I'm really getting close with these guys. They really are starting to trust me. Since I'm kind of being the middleman, the one that's providing information, you know, they're really starting to, you know, believe in me and I'm, you know, building a relationship with them that I can then leverage against them and work with you guys, turn on them in the next couple of votes. And, you know, of course, that's great to hear and all that. And she was saying, you know, one more Navidi out, that's great. Like, you know, we need to even up the numbers. That was kind of her whole pitch, which made sense. Like, I totally get that. But at the same time, you know, Dez was flipping with us. She was not in Navidi any longer. You know, like those, I mean, that's all bullshit. Those lines are nothing anymore. And they should have never been anything anyway. But yeah, that's kind of how it went for her. And everybody understood it and was hoping that the vote following, you know, she would, you know, make a move. And we haven't seen it yet. You know, it's frustrating to me, obviously, sitting here now. But yeah.
Was there anybody ever from Navidi that you felt like that this is somebody that is willing to take a chance on me where you could get something going with them?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Chris, of course. I mean, he was totally willing to make that move with us. You know, maybe not the right time right at the merge. Dez, clearly, I even had faith in Ange. I thought she knew, like, hey, you know, every single vote leading up to now, no one told me what's going on. I voted for the wrong person almost every time. Like, you know, I should join a group that's willing to loop me in and play with me. But she, you know, she never really did it. So, you know, I had so much hope in some of these players that never really, you know, came to fruition. I obviously thought that Donathan and Laurel were working both ends and that they were, you know, kind of trying to build something that we could then, you know, turn on them with. But, you know, Dom and Wendell stayed pretty closed off. They knew they were in a good spot. You know, Kellen was the same. Chelsea, you know, was completely walled off. And that's what sucked to me because I'm like, you know, play the game of Survivor, entertain a conversation. Even if you're not going to go with it, just sit and talk with me, like hear me out. But, you know, so many of them just wouldn't give me the time of the day. And they were just like, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to be, you know, deceptive and all that because I don't want to play a disrespectful game. So I'm just not going to talk to you and not do anything, which, you know, was just like gut-wrenching for me. And then Sebastian, I mean, we all know Sebastian. He doesn't talk to me. So love him to death.
Yeah.
But the dude, I don't even think he knows what show he's playing.
Michael, was there ever a point in the game when you considered revealing your actual age to anybody?
Yes. I mean, there were times I considered it. And it was mainly with somebody like Dom or somebody like Brendan, someone that kind of could be seen as a father figure and somebody that would respect the game I was playing, where that they, you know, they would have that mutual respect. They would understand that, hey, you know, he's not just some dumb kid. He's playing the game hard. He wants to work together, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, of course, that would be every reason to get me out as well if others thought that way. So I don't know exactly how the, you know, group would have judged that. I don't know if they would have respected it if I was in the final tribal and revealed it and given me the million. I don't know how it would all work. But I definitely had considered that at times, and just obviously not pulled the trigger. So, that was a hard call. Yeah.
Okay. Two quick questions. In the sure. gross food eating challenge, when you went back up and said, hey guys, I don't know if I'm ever going to play Survivor again. This is probably going to be my last day. Let me go eat that rest of that mother of pearl. Did you do that knowing that you were playing your idol no matter what, and you were hoping to attract as many votes as possible?
Yeah, there was a lot of thought behind that. I wanted everybody to kind of take that as like a, oh, this is Michael's farewell. You know, he's trying to make the most out of it. I wanted to, you know, gain a little bit of respect. I wanted them, you know, to all just, you know, feel like I knew I was going home and this is the end and he's just getting the full experience, blah, blah, blah. I mean, also on a, you know, lesser side note, I was hungry as hell. Mm-hmm. So more protein, the better. But yeah, that was kind of the thought process behind it. And I wanted, you know, everybody to put their votes on me like they did. So, that was completely the reasoning behind it.
And finally, even though you said, hey, I'm probably only going to play this game once, how interested would you be in potentially playing Survivor a second time?
Very interested. I've got unfinished business out there. I want to win the game. I want to be the youngest winner. You know, I'm there to play the game. I'm not there to mess around. I want to, you know, play a different game. I want to actually have power, and I want to be able to, you know, play it well and build a strong resume and, kind of have a different game, you know, aside from the underdog route. So, I'm totally in for it. I'd love to, you know, do a heroes versus villains type of thing. I think, you know, that's been my, you know, one of my top favorite seasons ever. So, to get to do something like that would be amazing. But yeah, I mean, I'm still 100% in for it.
Hey, Michael, if you can get the win, who cares about youngest winner? I'd take being the oldest winner at this point, okay?
True. Hey, okay. I'm with that, man. I'm there to get it.
All right. Great talking to you. Looking forward to seeing you at the finale, and all the best with everything you're doing, Michael, okay?
Hey, thank you, Rob, so much. I appreciate you.
All right, take care, buddy. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Michael Yerger here on the podcast. Thought he did a really nice job there. Got to cover a lot of ground talking about everything from his game. And yeah, sounds like he is interested in a return trip to Survivor. I mean, we'll see ultimately what happens. I just feel like that he has so much going on his plate and will have so many opportunities afforded to him that does he want to do Survivor still in a couple of years? Who knows? But he does seem like he's super into it right now, and would be fun to see him come back and potentially have a situation that might be more in his favor. He was just one of these Survivor players that you see them all throughout the history of the game that is just like the complete down on his luck throughout the entire game. Really never is able to get a foothold on anything. Spencer in Kageon comes to mind, where it's just like he's the underdog 100% of the way. And then it's always interesting to see how that player does, if they are potentially ever in the favorable position at any point in the game in a second time around. So we will watch the future of young Michael Yerger on Survivor. All right, so we are going to now throw it to a segment that I recorded last night. David Wright hung around, and we even got him to play the This Week in Survivor History quiz with Jordan Kalish. That's what happens once somebody steps into the studio. video, then we can torture them with whatever else we throw at them. So here is David Wright and myself playing the This Week in Survivor History quiz with Jordan Kalish. All right, everybody, here we go. This Week in Survivor History, the quiz. And of course, David Wright is here with me. A little inside Schmergen brawl that we record this usually right after the know-it-all. So David Wright is still here.
Hello, I am.
Yes, okay. David, are you at all prepared for what we're about to do?
I don't feel prepared at all. I know I'm going to do terribly, but let's have some fun.
Okay, let's have some fun. We had fun on the know-it-alls, and let's bring in the man who is the host of This Week in Survivor History, and that is Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing well, and David, thank you for being here. Fishbacks never sticks around to do Twitch, so
no.
So I really love that we have two know-it-alls here competing in Survivor Trivia.
What would have to happen for Steven to do the This Week in Survivor History quiz?
I'd be happy to have him.
No, but I got that. What would we have to do?
I don't know. I feel like if I emailed him enough times, maybe he would cave eventually.
Okay. How about this? Well, here's what I want you to do. Keep a running tally of how many times you have to email him. And then when he comes on the show, we'll announce how many times it took.
Sounds good.
Okay.
But you know how I am.
Set the over under, David.
So I might not have the number right.
Yes. Okay. Well, maybe get like a scratch pad and then write down every time you send them an email. Okay. All right. So we're going to get into the quiz, and David is a little nervous about this. So let's talk about canvaspeople.com and take his mind off of it, because David, Mother's Day is around the corner. You gave such a nice shout out to your girlfriend's mother on the podcast last night, but if only you could send something beautiful from canvaspeople.com, that would really make a great impression.
Yes, it would. Yes, and you should.
Yeah. Mother's Day is May 13th. I know also that Jordan Kalish, very close with his lovely mom who listens to the podcast.
Yes, I just spoke with her before. I gave her some of my trivia questions, and I won't tell you how she did. No spoilers. but I don't want her to embarrass you.
Okay, fair enough. But hey, don't embarrass yourself by forgetting a Canvas People photo. David, of course, you can see in my studio my beautiful Canvas People photo of Jadis from The Garbage People on The Walking Dead.
I thought that's what that
was. Yes, of course. We've got a great offer for our listeners. Just text the word RHAP to the number 99000, and you can get your free 11x14 canvas photo for mom. You just pay the shipping and handling. It's the best deal going in Mother's Day. So go ahead and don't forget about mom, whether it's your biological mom or the woman who is the mother of your children, because they want a Mother's Day gift too.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, you know, nobody's getting off easy this Mother's Day. Okay, don't forget about anybody. Text RHAP to 99000. That canvas photo is normally a $69.99 value, but it's yours for that $0 pricing. You just pay the shipping and handling. Text the word RHAP to 99000. Okay. Jordan, let's
yes.
talk about the categories. And so I think I could probably put, have you already Skyped them to us?
Yes, I've sent you them on the Skype chat, and the four categories that we have today, and each one of these categories corresponds to one question. We have Let's Play Shuffleboard, we have Erroneous Idol Plays, and we actually got one of those tonight, even though I think it was probably a smart thing for Donathan to do. We have Boston Know-It-Alls 1 and Boston Know-It-Alls 2. And David, so the way that this works, as the guest, you will choose your first category. It will be from something that happened in Survivor history this week. And if you choose to forgo your multiple choice options and you get the answer right, David Wright, you will get 2 points. And if you hear the multiple choice options and get it right, you'll get 1 point. Now, if you go for two and Rob were to steal, or vice versa, that person who steals and gets the right answer would get 1 point.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Should I just pick a category now?
Yeah, you could choose your first category.
I'll do Erroneous Idol Plays, but I'm going to need those multiple choices.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We're going to Survivor Heroes versus Villains, a great season. This is the episode called Jumping Ship from April 29th, 2010, 8 years ago this past Sunday, Berquist. Russell found the hidden immunity idol and unnecessarily played at a tribal council all within this episode. He found it based on the clue from the Treasure Island reward. Who is the only person he showed this idol to?
Oh, man. Yeah, let's go with the multiple choice.
Okay, so was it A, Danielle, B, Parvati, C, Jerry, D, Candace?
I'm going to say Parvati.
It was actually not Parvati. So it was not Parvati. I was about to say, Rob, you have a chance to steal here, but you don't because David heard the multiple choice options. So the answer is Candace. It was
Candace
actually the
people.
One. Yes, the one. Yes, the one hero who is on this list. He was trying to get her to vote with them, which she ends up doing in this episode because he wasn't so sure that Sandra was going to stay on their side. And he figured by showing her the idol, it would build trust. So, David, you do not get any points for that question.
Oh, boy.
And Rob, it is your turn to choose a category.
Okay. All right. I will go with Let's Play Shuffleboard.
Okay, so we're going to stay right in Heroes versus Villains, same episode. Who shot closest to the target in Survivor Shuffleboard, sending their team of three to Robert Louis Stevenson's house to watch Treasure Island?
Okay. I will say that I want to guess, but I don't want to invite a steal when I don't feel that comfortable. So let me hear the multiple choices, even though I know the three people that will be multiple choicing from.
Yes, you do know who A, B, and C are going to be. I'm very happy.
I'm curious to know who D is going to be. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy you chose the multiple choice because we have A, Colby. We have B, Captain of Sports, Danielle. We have C, Amanda. And we have D, Polly Walnuts, the newest listener of RHAP.
I think it was Polly Bangnuts, but let's go. I will go with Amanda.
It was actually not Amanda. So there was a lot of talk during Survivor Heroes versus Villains that Colby is not so good at the challenges anymore, that he looks like an old man. So Colby, as most old men do, he's very good at shuffleboard, and he won this challenge for his team. So, Rob, you get 0 points. We are tied 0-0.
Anybody's game, David. I got this.
All right, David. So now we have Boston Know-It-Alls 1 and Boston Know-It-Alls 2.
So Boston Know-It-Alls 1 it is.
Okay, so we're staying actually in Heroes versus Villains. We have three questions from the season of Survivor. Who does Russell describe as Boston Rob in a girl's body?
Oh man. I think I vaguely remember. I'll do multiple choice though.
Okay, so to not let Rob steal, we have A, Danielle, B, Amanda, C, Parvati, D, Candace.
Parvati.
Okay, David is sticking with Parvati, and David is wrong again. It was actually Amanda. So Amanda is the one that he says strategic.
I'm Amanda.
She's gonna challenge us.
I'm not doing very well.
I'm Amanda. Not supposed to be in this woman's body.
Yeah. So, David, you gotta stop guessing Parvati here because it's not doing so well for
it's
you.
It's not. It really isn't.
Okay.
All right. One more category, and we're going to go back to Boston Know-It-Alls. Boston Know-It-Alls 2, and I had a great time last week at the actual Boston Know-It-Alls.
Boston Know-It-Alls 2 coming sometime in 2019.
I hope so. I will definitely be there for that again. Survivor Exile Island. This is from the episode Bamboozled from May 4th, 2006, 12 years ago tomorrow.
Oh my God.
In the Survivor Exile Island family visit, whose loved one is wearing a shirt that says Boston or Bust?
Whose loved one is wearing a, I would say it would be ironic if it wasn't the case, but I would say it's gotta be Shane Powers, that his son is Boston.
So Shane Powers' son is named Boston, but you have to remember that Danielle is from the city of Boston. No, but you're right. It was Shane. You get 2 points. You didn't talk yourself out. I was really hoping that would work as a trick question. If you went to multiple choice, I had Shane as the D answer, which is sometimes the joke answer. So yes, Rob, you get the full 2 points there. Good job not getting fooled by your boy D Schoolish. And we're going to go to the death match. So Dave, okay, even though you are losing by two, but you still have a chance in this game.
Oh, great. Okay.
On this final category, the most that either contestant could score is 3 points. So you could actually win this game.
All right.
I'm going to read an alphabetical list of six survivors who were voted out this week in Survivor history. The list contains survivors who came in each of the following places: 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, and 5th. When it's your turn, you will answer with the survivor who came in the worst place remaining, starting with 10th. So, David, you're the guest. You'll go first.
Did you follow any of that?
I think I got it.
Yeah. Okay, David's head is spinning.
So, and just to let you know, David, this is the case every week. An incorrect answer means you won't be able to gain any points on this question. So if you get this wrong, you're actually
eliminated.
Yes. Yeah. So hopefully that doesn't happen. And we'll keep going for four guesses. If we get to past four guesses and it's still a tie game after that, we'll go into a tiebreaker and we'll finish this this round up. So let me read you the list. This is in alphabetical order and I'll give you the season that this person was on. Some of them are two player have played in two seasons. So you need to know.
David Wright just passed me a note. What did I ever do to you to deserve this?
That's not true. That's not true.
All right. Was it a real note or a fake note?
He has in a coconut. He had to open it up.
So we have on the list, we have Amanda from Heroes versus Villains, Jason from Koh Rang, Jeffra from Kagyan, Shane from Exile Island.
Wait, do we need like scrap paper for this?
I can send it to you. We have Shireen from Worlds Apart and Zeke from Game Changers. David, you have to pick the person.
Okay.
This is the 10th vote. 10th boot?
This is the person who is 10th place.
10th in
the
place. Not as, okay.
Yes, 10th place.
Oh.
So I'm seeing that list here. You guys have it now.
Okay, so you can look at it on the screen behind you.
Yeah,
Amanda, Jason, Jeffra, Shane, Shireen, Zeke. Who did the worst, I guess, is the question.
Yes.
Yeah. I am going to say... I'm going to say Jeffra.
So Jeffra, unfortunately, David, did not do the worst on this list.
She's a seven, right?
She is seventh place. I think this is a game. This might be a game that Rob could have gotten.
Let me see if I can put them in order. Okay. The 10th placer was Zeke.
The 10th placer is Zeke.
I almost said Zeke.
That's your friend. David, you Spartan race. Okay. The ninth placer, I believe, is Amanda.
Correct.
The eighth placer, I believe, is Shireen.
Yes.
The seventh placer is Jeffra.
Correct.
The sixth placer is Jason, and the fifth placer is Shane.
Rob, if I was wearing a Wiggler Wombat's hat, I would take my hat off to you. I am not wearing a hat right now, but... That's a bell. You're because I actually have a bell today, so very good job.
Okay. You're like Magnus Carlsen. You like retain it all. I don't.
No. But listen, anybody who listens to the show knows that that's not the case. Okay. those are the hard facts that when the question is like, which person said that something was going to be sensational? Was it when it's we're talking real facts here that usually. That's my wheelhouse.
But okay.
David Wright, thank you. I can't thank you enough for subjecting yourself to the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
It was fun. I wish I did better. I'm embarrassed.
Yes.
No, you shouldn't be. Look, you're not the first survivor to come on here and get 0 points.
So okay, good.
You did a great job. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. And a big shout out to Justin and Emily Karp, who let me use their apartment to record in today.
Yes. David Wright, who is the first celebrity that you followed on Twitter?
Oh God! I don't remember why. Why is this a question?
that's a topic we like to discuss on the show.
It was probably William Shatner.
Shatner. That's should we check? You follow too many people.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, Jordan. He's no Nick Iadanza.
Do you follow J Lo on Twitter?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But that's Jordan. You should come in with those questions prepared of who's the first celebrity you followed and who's the first survivor you followed, and then see if people know.
I think they should have to do the research before they come on the show. It's like you got to
You should have it ready to go.
Yeah, it's their Twitter. Why do I need to have who?
Yeah, and then that should be a question on the quiz.
Did you follow on Twitter?
Yeah.
So what if it's your question and you're going to start complaining about it not being a fair question?
Well, that's a bonus round. It's a bonus round. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. All right. We have to go. David Wright is hungry. We have to get dinner. Okay.
I have to go play Mafia.
Okay.
All right. Good luck,
Jordan. Thank you so much.
You.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, David, thanks again for coming on.
So much fun.
Talk to you next week.
All right, take care. Bye.
You too.
David, again, thank you again for participating in this nonsense.
Happy to do it.
Okay.
Yes, millennials versus Gen Xers.
You're still here? Okay. All right, we're hanging up. All right, take care. Bye, Jordan.
See you, man.
All right, have a good night, guys.
Take care.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor History, the quiz with David Wright. And David Wright did earn the dinner we would go on to have. We had a very nice dinner after the show and very fun to catch up with David Wright. Always appreciate it when somebody comes into the studio. And then even when we get to subject them to things like playing This Week in Survivor History with me. So what a great sport, David Wright. Great guy. Had a lot of fun and a great dinner after the show. So thanks again to David Wright. All right. So there you have it, everybody. Double exit interview. I'm going to shift gears towards my conversation with Tyson Apostle coming up here later on this afternoon on Thursday. And then from there, we'll get into the voicemails with Rourke. Get your feedback questions in as we are in the Survivor home stretch. Only two more regular weeks after this. So a lot coming up here in the finale of Ghost Island is on the horizon as we are closing in on May 23rd, the final day of Survivor Ghost Island. Thanks again to everybody who listened to the podcast. Always appreciate you guys who make it all the way to the end of these. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.